Well, it's okay with you. Are we going to pray again? Is this okay? Because it helps me to just keep my focus on Jesus. So God, I thank you so much that I get to be here to celebrate your entry into the world, God. You coming in. You are the light of the world, and you coming into darkness. I thank you, God, that we get to celebrate this. I just pray right now that you would help me to speak clearly and slow. And Holy Spirit, wherever you want to be heard today, there's so many things to share. So show me what to share. Show me what we all need to hear. And I just ask you, God, that you would open our ears to hear your voice and open our eyes to see you. In the name of Jesus, amen. So I'm not going to talk about my family right away. First of all, I'm going to teach you guys some words in Hebrew, just to get that out of the way. You probably know this word. Can everyone say shalom? So I like to teach that word because it's actually three words in one. So it means peace, it means goodbye, and it means hello. Okay, so it means three things. Just for the fun of it, I'm also going to teach you four more names in Hebrew. Because as you just heard, Jesus was born in Israel, so he has a Hebrew name. Also Mary and Joseph and Elizabeth were born in Israel. They have Hebrew names. So I'm going to just teach you, if you want to write them down just for the fun of it, you can. I'm not going to quiz you on it. I might say their names while I talk about them. But Mary in Hebrew is Miriam, or let's say Miriam. Okay, Joseph is Yosef. Jesus, which is, I would say, let's remember this one, because that's actually how they called him when he was living 2,000 years ago on the earth. His name is Yeshua. Let's all say Yeshua. Wow, that's a good name. And that actually means salvation. That's the actual meaning of Yeshua, salvation. So whenever you're saying Yeshua, you're saying salvation. And then I'm going to teach you another name, Elizabeth. The Hebrew name for Elizabeth is Elisheva, okay, which is my name. So it's an easy one for me to remember. We're going to start off this wonderful morning celebrating the light that came into the world 2,000 years ago by reading Isaiah 9:6. I'm just going to read it real quick. This is a prophecy in the Old Testament. We all know that the Old Testament and the New Testament are still, you know, they're still valid for today. And before I read, Jesus, to be the Messiah, he had to fulfill, I think it's like 353 prophecies. I don't have time to read all the prophecies. I honestly don't know them all. But 353 prophecies before Jesus was born, Jesus had to fulfill every single one. If there was one where he didn't fulfill, he's a false Messiah, okay? Not only did he have to die and rise again, he had to fulfill these prophecies. So I'm going to read one of the prophecies right now that I share with Jewish people in Israel. And I'm just going to share it with us again. We all know it. For to us a child is born. To us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And when I share the gospel with Jewish people, one of the things I say is, could a man be born with a name, Wonderful Counselor? Do we go around calling each other Wonderful Counselor? Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And I just want to encourage you before I go on, these are all names that you can, when I need counsel, I say, Wonderful Counselor, Wonderful Counselor, counsel me. When I need him as a father, you can call him Everlasting Father. These are his names. Isn't that cool? So just a second. I have my notes on my phone, and I need to put my screen again. We're going to go now to Micah 5:2. I'll just read it. But you, Bethlehem... Just another little message in Hebrew. Bethlehem actually means house of bread. Isn't that cool? And what is Jesus? He's the bread of life. So God is like, he's so cool. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. So God, Yeshua, our Messiah, had to be born where? In Bethlehem. If he was born in the Korah, would he be our Messiah? Nope. Be a false Messiah. So the day, Yeshua, I love this day because we can celebrate a fulfillment of prophecy. Because if the Messiah hasn't come, then God does not keep his word. So the day Yeshua was born to Miriam was a fulfillment of prophecy. One more prophecy I share with my friends is in 1 Kings 9:5. I actually do not have it highlighted. It might take me a minute to find it. But this is the promise where God promises David that he will always have a son on the throne. And I tell my friends, God makes a promise, he keeps it. So if God told David that he would always have a son on the throne, where is there a king now in Israel? No, but there is one that we know of, and his name is Yeshua. And I'm just going to read that verse. God is speaking to David. I will establish your royal throne over Israel forever. Actually, he's speaking this to Solomon. As I promised David your father when I said, you shall never fail to have a successor on the throne of Israel. So, few things. David, Jesus has to be born in Bethlehem. And who does his great-great-grandfather have to be the Messiah? David, right? Has to be. So, good thing. Jesus so far fits all those descriptions. Isn't that awesome? So, we must be serving the true Messiah. One more verse. We read the story about Jesus being born. I just want to touch something that people don't usually actually focus on a lot, but I'm going to focus on it a little bit. It's Luke 2:21. I'm going to get it for you here in a minute. I was going to read the whole story, but because you already read it, we're going to skip it for the sake of time. Okay. Something we read, and a lot of times you think about it. But Jesus, when he was eight days old, says here, on the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Yeshua, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. So if he was not circumcised on the eighth day, could he be our Messiah? No, because the Messiah had to be born Jewish. And why was he circumcised on the eighth day? We're not going to start a debate here if circumcision or not. I'm just talking about our Messiah here. Why was he circumcised on the eighth day? Let's go back to Genesis 12:1. I think that's the verse. Actually, no, I'm sorry. Genesis 17:7. Okay. Genesis 17:10. God made a covenant with Abraham, right? And this is what it says here. This is my covenant with you and your descendants after you. The covenant you are to keep. Every male among you shall be circumcised. So Jesus had to be circumcised because when God makes a covenant, he is not like man who breaks his covenant. Actually, a covenant is even more powerful than a promise. And he says here in Genesis 17:7, I will establish my covenant, he's talking to Abraham, as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. So the reason I'm sharing this is because God made an everlasting covenant with the Jewish people. And Yeshua had to be born Jewish. He had to be circumcised on the eighth day. He also had a huge party when he was 13, was dedicated to the Lord. He was Jewish. Our Messiah was Jewish. And the sad thing about it is that the Jewish people don't believe in him. Everybody knows that, right? Not only they don't believe in him, if I was in Israel right now, there's no Christmas in Israel. Why? Because they're not into Santa? No, because they know it's about the birth of the Messiah. Nobody celebrates Christmas in Israel unless you go to Bethlehem. And there they have a big celebration, the Christian Arabs there. My husband and I, that's my kids. That's Levi. Levi's here. Levi, can you stand up? If you're not shy, this is Levi. He's 11, and God provided for him to come with me to America on this trip. That's my husband, Russell. He's born and raised in Iowa. That's why I'm here. God gave him a heart for Israel, and then God actually moved him. And he is almost two. He's actually here with me, too, as well. He could come for free. That's my daughter, Liat. She's nine. She goes to public school and learning Hebrew. It's her first year in school. She was homeschooled until now. This is my son, Gideon. In Hebrew, it's Gideon. And he is five. And he's just a sweet little boy, and he's going to preschool learning Hebrew. And that's Maya, who is seven, also going to school learning Hebrew. So right now, only Levi is being homeschooled, which is wonderful. I have lots of one-on-one with him. Yes, sir. I have a short time, so I can't share. I have lots of stories to share. I'm just going to share the highlights of the stories for the sake of trying to not go over our time. If you would like to meet with me and ask me more questions, maybe I'll have time later. One thing, when I asked God what he wants me to share with the churches in America, he gave me, I think it's why he's sharing with me. I'm just going to share it with you. He said, my church in America is too busy, and they're too busy doing and not busy enough listening. He says, encourage them to listen. So I'm just throwing that out to you guys. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. He says it as a loving father. But when I asked him about it, he said, to listen, you need to be quiet. Okay? Everybody knows that when you're talking, you can't listen. At least parents know that. And I know that in a relationship with friends. To listen, you need to be quiet. God has a lot to say to us. And this is a hard practice for me personally. I'm definitely being tested on this. Before I came this morning, he had me just sit there quiet for 20 minutes just to listen to him. I like praying. I like reading the Bible, but being quiet feels a little awkward sometimes. But you know what? He does speak. Every time he speaks. And he told me to share those verses in the beginning that I shared with you. I just want to encourage you. None of us ever want to hear the words when we go to heaven someday. I try to tell you, but you not from God, okay? God, it's all about, we all know this, it's all about relationship. It's all relationship with God. So I'm just going to share with you our story very quick about Russell and I and our relationship with God and how that is playing out and the fruit that we're seeing because, thank God, we're learning to listen. And please pray for us that we could continue to learn. I'm going to read Genesis 12:1. It's on the screen. We all know the story, and if you don't, you guys can go back and read it. The Lord had said to Abraham, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. That's kind of what God spoke to my husband. Not in the same, I wouldn't compare my husband to Abraham in any way, but that's kind of what he felt when he left Iowa. He went to, at least he knew where he was going. Abraham didn't even know that. The next verse I'm going to read here is about from Matthew 14:28. You all know this story as well. The reason I'm sharing these stories real quick, the first story is an experience with Abraham listening to God. And I like to ask this question. I'm not going to answer it because I don't know. But do you guys think that God spoke to Abraham audibly, or do you think he spoke quietly to his heart? Don't answer. I've been wondering about it. It just dawned on me. It does not say in my Hebrew Bible or in my English Bible, God spoke audibly to Abraham. In other incidents, it's definitely very clear it's audible. Wonder that, because a lot of times he doesn't speak audibly to me. He speaks to my heart. I don't know. Could have very well been like I see in the cartoons, very audible. But I don't know for sure. The reason I say this is God is challenging us that we can hear his voice. So Matthew 14, this is another conversation that somebody had with Jesus. Because our relationship with Jesus is all about a conversation with him. It's really what it is. It's a relationship. And how do we have a relationship? It starts with conversation. If you don't talk to someone, you can't get to know them. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink. Actually, can you go to the verse behind it or after that? About the one about Peter getting out of the boat? You can't find it. That's okay. Okay. "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." So this is kind of what my husband and I did. "Lord, if this is you, we'll come." "Come," he said. And Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. Amazing, he was walking on water. Is it possible to walk on water? Does God change? Is he going to ask us to do things that are impossible now? He might not ever ask me to walk on water, but he might ask me, what he did ask us is to go full-time in ministry, which I'll go to that later. Let's go to the verse right after that, about Peter, again. It's okay if you can't find it. Nah, it's when the story about when Peter got afraid and he started sinking. And he called on to Jesus again. I usually have all my notes written on a piece of paper, but I forgot it somewhere. So, like I said, Russell, my husband, was born and raised in Iowa. And we met working in a ministry in Chicago. We moved to Israel. We got married, obviously. We moved to Israel in 2007 with two little children, one still inside growing and one that was out. He was almost two. We moved by faith, which means we didn't know where we were going to work. We knew where we were going to live, which that was an amazing story in itself. But we didn't know how we were going to provide for our family. But we just knew God was calling us there to be evangelists. God did provide my husband a job within 2 weeks, and for about 9 years, later he found a better job. He was working as a tour operator and an office administrator. He's a gifted administrator. But just recently, in 2015, after he had this great job for 9 years and a steady paycheck, God spoke clearly to us to leave his job and to be full-time in a ministry called Sukkot Hallel. Can you guys put a picture of the conference going on and a lot of people worshiping? This is not the building where we worship, but this our ministry, one of the things it does, it's a house of prayer, which means it makes, there's a verse in the Bible that says, actually don't have it written down, it says, "On your walls, O Jerusalem, have watchmen who pray day and night." And there's also another story in the Bible how whenever there was a war, the worshipers went out first, and the intercessors. So that's something we need to, like, practice more, is just to pray and worship. That was, so one of the things this ministry does is it does a conference for youth and adults once a year, and this year it's going to be a few more times where they bring Arabs and Jews together to worship. And Russell's a part of the administration, and I usually translate for speakers who speak in English or Hebrew to English. We can go, I think there's one more picture. If not, that's okay. I can't remember exactly. That's the conference. It's called Elav, which means unto him. May our hearts be unto him. And this has been amazing. Last year it was in Jerusalem. And there's a persecution sometimes, too. There's, because in Israel, it's actually, you know, the Jewish country. Sadly, a Jewish country should be all about Jesus, but it's not. So there's even persecution. When you walked in, people were saying, "Don't go in, don't go in. They're going to feed you blood. They're going to feed you blood." Because in Israel, a lot of people think that Christians, like, drink blood. They think what we just drank is blood. Obviously, it's just horrible. So we're there to tell them, no, it's not true. That's why Russell and I live there. Also, I have another picture. It's of my kids dressed in costumes. So this is a holiday in Israel that we celebrate. It's Purim. It's when the kids dress up to remember the miracle when God used Esther to save a whole country. They happen to be wearing their costumes today because we have a children's watch once a week, and they're worshiping and praying in their costumes because we let them do that. It was Purim. And here they are. My son really wanted to be a warrior, and they're just worshiping. I'm just giving you a picture of our the children ministry. We have a lot more children that go, but this week I think only our kids came because of Purim. Everybody was busy. Okay. This is the ministry that my husband and I just started to be a part of 2 years ago, and it's been so amazing. And since my husband quit his job, I have lived in Israel all my life. And it's, I don't know about you, but people don't always, it's really hard for someone convince someone to believe in Jesus, right? Whose job is that? It's the Holy Spirit. But our job is to love people, right? And my prayer always has been, God, I want to see a Jewish person get saved. Ever since I've been a little girl. And it's like, they just don't get saved. That's what felt to me. I remember even telling God, is anybody ever going to get saved? And the miracle that happened this year is God's answering my prayers after many years of praying, many, many years of praying, sharing the gospel and saying nothing. And hearing, you're sharing seeds, you're sowing seeds, which is great. Sow seeds, people. Because all these people had seeds in their life. They got saved. But this last year, 7 people got saved. And I just want to share the stories because they are so, so encouraging. My son is saying, you don't have time to share all 7. That's true. So we're going to send, I think that's what he said. So we're going to put a picture up here of this girl, Ksenia. That's Ksenia. I can't tell you the whole story. It's like a 20-minute long story. But just to get to the highlight of it, God opened the door for this beautiful 13-year-old to live in our house. Beautiful 13-year-old. When she was at my house, we were folding laundry. And I told her the story about Jesus. And she repented. She was on her knees for 45 minutes crying, asking God to forgive her. One of the things she asked God was for food because she grew up with not having proper meals. She grew up being hungry because her mom was abusive. And at our house, she was very happy to receive proper meals, but even more, she got Jesus. And we saw this girl change completely, transformed completely. There's another picture of her holding my baby. That's her sister. I'll talk about her later. This is another picture holding Boaz. This is about 1.5 years ago. So she was with me for 3 months straight. We were... It was summer holiday, so she had the whole summer to be with me. And it was amazing, because when you have so much time to spend with them, they see the good and the bad. So they heard me repent a lot. When I lose my temper or something, I say I'm sorry. But she also saw me pray with the kids. She also saw me love on my kids. And she would come with us to the ministry, because she was part of our family. I couldn't leave her home. So she came with us to Sukkot Halel. And one day we were there, and one of the things they do there is worship for 2 hours straight, which is a long time for kids to worship. And one day, when she was a new believer, like maybe a day after she asked Jesus into her heart, she said, I'm so bored. Can I play on my phone? She didn't have a phone. She wanted to play on my phone. Can I go outside? And I said, no. You know what? And I just encouraged her. I said, why don't you close your eyes and pretend nobody is watching? And she said, okay. And I want to show you what happened. I took a video of it. There's a video of her. Can you put the video on? The Holy Spirit just touched this little girl's heart. And she never worshipped like this before. I never saw anybody worship like this before. When you show the video, you're going to see her worshiping. It was the most beautiful picture I ever saw. That's why I'm sharing with it. That's her worshiping the Lord. I mean, this was like 5 minutes after I told her to just close her eyes. Slow motion. So anyway, it was beautiful. And she would worship like that for hours. And when that time was over, I would say, honey, we're going home. And she said, I don't want to go. I want to stay. And it was like 10 o'clock at night. I had to go home. So we said, no, we need to go. Because we were there for the youth watch. The youth watch, and that's why we went there that night. That's Ksenia. We need to pray for her because I'll tell you more details later. So then there's her sister has blonde hair, and she's hugging her, or me. Can you put that picture on? That's Anastasia, her sister. Her sister lived with us too. Actually, their mom lived with us as well. It was 3 of them. They lived with us for 3 months because they were homeless. And her sister got radically saved. I was also folding laundry with her. And I heard the Holy Spirit say, tell her the story of Jesus. And she heard about Jesus, but not the story. So I told her the story. She asked Jesus into her heart. And I thought that was cool enough. But God had Jesus. It says in the Old Testament, I can't remember the verse. You guys can look it up. It says in the last days we'll see visions and dreams. Well, God is moving. And as I was talking, after we prayed, she said to me, Elisheva, I just saw a movie. And I didn't know what she was talking about. And she said, I just saw Jesus on your closet. I just saw Jesus on your closet. And I said, what did he look like? And she said to me, because I was curious. I never saw Jesus before face to face. I've had many experiences with him. I never saw him. And she said, well, he was wearing a white robe and had a shepherd's rod. Reminds you of a shepherd, right? Then he said he had a red beard. Remember who had red hair? David. Now, I wouldn't say that Jesus always has red hair. I don't know. Just that's how he revealed himself to her at that point. And then she said, she looked at his eyes. I said, what do his eyes look like? She said, they had so much love. And she said, and my name was written on his eyes. I went, your name? I mean, I was blown away. And she said, and when you were praying about, you know, him coming into our life, I felt his presence on me, like him grabbing me. And I was just in shock. I know all this can happen. I just never experienced it before myself. I was in shock. I said, I think what happened is you saw a vision. I went back and I didn't see anything. I just saw my closet. Whenever I fold laundry, though, I have a new appreciation to my laundry room. But she had another dream the next day of Jesus, and Jesus gave her another dream. And he said to her, she came up and told me, said to her, he gave her a rock and said on the rock, forgiveness. And he said, if you forgive, all your problems will be solved. She said to me, I think I should start doing that. Now, Anastasia, before that all happened, she was severely abused. I can't get into details because it's too horrifying. I didn't know this. We didn't know her mom was a witch. We didn't know that either. Her mom was living in our house. We're covered in the blood of Jesus. We're safe. But it helped us to understand the whole story. Her mom actually turned against us and took me to court and did a restraining order. I can't see those girls until they're 18. So she is actually, I don't know how she's doing right now, but we need to pray for her. But I think the Lord gave her such a strong vision because he knew the hard things she's going to go through in the next few years. The other girl didn't have a vision. She was a little jealous, but she actually is a part of, her mom moved away from me, like an hour and a half away, but she moved without knowing to a really good church, right next to a really good church that really has taken her in. And there's a picture of her standing by a bike. Can you put that picture on? They got her a bike. She never had a bike in her whole life. She's always wanted a bike since she was five. And on her 14th birthday last year, they bought her a bike. And they dressed her as a princess. She's God's princess. And she's actually in a really good boarding school right now, which is good because her mom is abusive. So she gets 3 meals a day. And she's going to church maybe once every 2 weeks because she's in a board. But please be praying for her. It was so exciting. God is comforting my heart. He told me that she's going to be okay, and also the other girl. The other picture is a picture of our plumber. He's reading the Bible with my kids. This is our plumber, okay? Quickly, he came to our house 3 times, did not succeed to fix the toilet. I was really mad. I wanted to call a different plumber. God told me, no, you're here to love people. We're all here to love people, by the way, wherever we are. And so he came, and I was trying to show him love and not be angry at him, and, you know, show him grace. Because I need grace. So I'm showing him the same grace that was given to me many, many times. And my daughter happened to just jump in the shower when he came in. We didn't know what time he was coming. And so I had all this time with this plumber. He's Arab, which is great. I love Arabs. And he was actually from a community of people, the Druze people, which is a very close community in Israel that barely ever gets saved. It's kind of like Mormons, not Mormons, Amish or something. So, he was at our house. I heard the Lord say, tell him about me. Tell him about me. So I asked God, I said, God, give me courage because I'm really not in the mood. And the baby was on my back and he was crying because he was teething all night. And my daughter was in the shower. And when you ask God for that, he always answers. So I told him about him. And I shared the gospel. It was right before Christmas last year. And then the Lord said, ask him if he needs healing. Because what did Jesus do 2,000 years ago? He healed. And it says that Jesus still heals. Jesus is alive. And you know, the gospel, the whole thing. I pray for people a lot for healing, and I don't always see it. But I prayed for him for healing, and Jesus healed his back immediately. It was amazing. I said, can I pray for you for healing? Jesus heals back. And he said, sure. And actually, as I was praying for him, the Holy Spirit asked me to tell him, which I've never really done this before. I was a little bit scary, but I said, do you need to forgive anybody in your life? Maybe your dad? He said, yes, my dad. And he forgave his dad. I just forgive my dad, and his back was healed. I don't know. It was amazing. I don't know. Jesus healed his back. And my son was so, it's not me. It's Jesus. And he was so excited. And he actually invited Jesus into his heart. He actually came back an hour later to my house saying to me, what did you do to me? I'm a different person. I have peace in my heart. What did you do to me? I said, I didn't do anything. It was the Holy Spirit. I don't know. It's Jesus. And I wanted someone to teach him right then, but nobody was answering the phone, and Russell was busy doing errands downtown, so I sat there and read the Bible to him for an hour. And he meets with my dad now. You can put a picture of my dad and him. My dad is a pastor. My parents were missionaries, and I grew up as a missionary's kid in Israel. My dad still lives there. And it's been wonderful. He actually is reading to him the Bible in Hebrew. Actually, we need to pray for him. He's the only believer in his family, and he's not been meeting with my dad for a few months because he's going through some hard time. He goes to Sukkot Hillel, the ministry we're part of, all the time. What's wonderful is all the new believers can go there whenever they want because it's open 24 hours a day. The last story I'm going to share is, can you put a picture of a girl in grass? Her name is Yerden. Before I share all these encouraging stories, I just want to say I've had so many times of praying for our washing machine guy or our praying for old people, and just praying for everybody, and I don't see them healed. When you keep doing something, God is going to eventually answer. And it says the harvest is ready and the laborers are few. And the same day, I'm going to share this because I think she would want me to share this part. That morning, I was running to the store and back to get bread for the kids. I was busy. It was a busy day. And the Lord had me pray, God, use me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. When will I see people saved? Use me. I prayed. I came home and I kept busy with my day, praying the normal things I usually pray. Give me patience. Give me patience. Give me patience. Give me patience. Anyway, I was picking up my kids from school. Our school is right across the street from our house. So across the street, I see this girl listening to music across the street. She looked depressed. She looked sad. And she was just sitting there. And we don't really have a place to sit by our house. So it was people don't sit there. And I said, God, I was in a real hurry, and I'm learning to talk to God about everything. And I really encourage you guys, talk to God about everything, about every detail of your life, in your heart. You don't have to talk out loud. In your heart, just talk to him. And I said, God, should I talk to this girl? Do you want me to talk to her? And he said, no, not right now. Well, I don't usually hear no. I said, okay. And I went home, and I was busy, busy, busy. An hour and a half later, I went to pick up somebody else from school, and there she still is. And I said, God, she's still here. And he said, now is the time. I went, really? Okay. And I was so nervous because he said at first no. And I thought, I'm not like wasting my time and talking to somebody who's just going to fight with me the whole time, to be honest. That's why I want to hear from God. I don't have much time. And as I was walking by her, I put my hand, I said, again, I felt very nervous. I said, God, give me courage. I feel so nervous. And when you pray, he always does. And I put my hands on her. And I said, how are you? And I'm doing good. And I went, so embarrassing. She's doing good. I said, well, you've been sitting here for an hour and a half, and I'm just wondering, She said, yeah, I'm just clearing my head with a cigarette. And she's apologizing for smoking. I said, don't worry, at least you're not taking drugs or alcohol. I'm trying to, chit-chat with her, And she said, I said to her, well, this is the words that God told me to tell her. I said, when I feel sad, I pour my heart out to God, clear my head. She said, that's interesting. That's exactly what I was doing. I was really? See, people don't talk to God in Israel. In Israel, it's a lot like this country, a lot of it. But when they do talk to God, it's from a book. So I knew it was the Lord. And I said, can I sit next to you? And she said, yes. God sent you to me. You're a sign. Said, okay. So I sat next to her. And for 45 minutes, she shared some deep things, secrets in her heart to me, which is very, very rare for a stranger to do that. She must have felt very comfortable with me. I just listened to her. I remember thinking, this is probably just sowing seeds. I'm probably just going to encourage her. Sowing seeds means, she's not saved yet, but eventually she'll get saved. I just wanted to love her, honestly, at that point. I just wanted to show her love as another human being going through a hard time. Well, after all that, I said, can you tell me about your relationship with God? And she said, yeah, ever since I was a little girl, I've been talking to God about everything. I talk to God, and he speaks to me. And I said to her, that's cool. And she said, yeah, you're a sign. I said, that's cool. And I said to her, well, can I tell you about my relationship with God? She said, sure. I was so excited to tell her about Jesus. So I shared the gospel with her and telling her how Jesus is the Jewish Messiah, everything I share with prophecies and how we're here in Israel to love the Jewish people. And then she said to me, she was crying after I talked. She was literally crying. And I said, what's wrong? She said, this is amazing. All my life, as a little girl, I would talk to God. And God put this thought on my head. Jesus is for you. Now, she doesn't even know his name. In Hebrew, they call him Yeshua, which means cursed be. They don't know his name. The rabbis changed his name. So she said, all my life I thought Yeshua was for me. And 2 weeks ago, I was meeting with a friend of mine who was talking to her about God, and she was sharing with me what the Jewish people believe in. All the laws you have to follow. There's no grace. There's no forgiveness of sin. They follow all the laws. They know God. They worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but they don't have the freedom. They don't know the sins are forgiven. It's all one law. And she said to God, she was praying. She said, God, what do you think? Is this true what they're saying to me? And God said to me, God spoke to me, all the answers are in the New Testament. This is 2 weeks before I talked to her. And she said, and I felt this love fill my body. And all night long, I felt the love fill my body. And it was like everlasting love. And she was a little bit apologetic, thought I would think she's weird. Of course, I didn't think she was weird. I thought this was really cool. I never experienced anything like that. Love fill my body all night long. But she got saved right there and then. Yeah, she is. And it was amazing. And I meet, a week later we met. What? A week later we met and the disciple, and I thought it would be 1 hour. And we lasted there for 7. We were there from 8 till 2 in the morning. The Lord was moving, and she was forgiving her dad and her mom and her ex-boyfriends and repenting for sins. Things I didn't need to teach her, the Holy Spirit was teaching her. And I just sat there, and I kept thinking, could a pastor come in? Somebody who knows how to do this? Because I don't know how to do this. And nobody came in. It was just me and my friend. And she was just forgiving people. And I couldn't leave her. And she's calling me all the time and Skyping me. I didn't want to leave Israel because she just got saved, but the Lord said that she's going to be okay. And somebody actually just, a friend of mine is meeting her with her right now. And those are the kind of miracles we've seen recently. I can't share more. You know, it says in the Bible that when all the Jewish people get saved, the Jewish people will get saved and Jesus is coming back. So I believe a great harvest is coming. And she actually told me she's 24. She told me she has lots of friends who want to hear about Jesus and want to meet me. I can't wait to meet them, of course. I'm so excited. I just want to share a few. I don't know if I have time or not. Do I have time to share a few more miracles? Okay. No? What? Okay. So no more time. That's good. So I think salvations are the best thing to share. So, yes. I don't think it's recorded. Well, you know what? I'll just share real quickly without giving into details. Okay, so we have had, we've been living by faith for a whole year, which means we have not been had money for groceries for a whole year. I can't share the stories because I don't have time, but he's provided for us chicken to our door. He's provided for us groceries, even from the story in the Bible when there was a double portion. And, you know, on Friday, he wants to provide us two groceries at the same time. And he's provided us contact. When I didn't have contact, someone just came and gave me contact. I mean, these are real stories. And he keeps doing, he provided for us. Someone just gave us a gift to buy groceries for a whole year, which is $100 a week. Honestly, we need more, but it covers our bills. I know I can get diapers and wipes and milk. Amazing! God is, since we got out of the boat, we've seen lots of miracles. And I just want to ask you to please pray for us, because we do have our moments, like Peter, where we're thinking, and like, he should just quit his job. I should just go get a job as a waitress. And God said to me very clearly the other day, that's like Ishmael. Don't do that. That's getting an Ishmael. I told you to do this. Keep doing it. We still need, right now, we have $500 a month supported to our family, which is amazing. Extra $200 just came in this trip. We're hoping to be able to raise $1,300 because that will match our need. It will match our need if we raise $1,300. So far, God is providing all our needs, and it's really, we're dependent on him. And I hope that I never forget this season in my life because it brings me so close to him. And I just want to invite you guys to pray about, first of all, praying for us, because what we need more than money is prayer. Money comes and goes, but prayer is, you know, for our marriage, for our children, for the new believers. And if you have on your heart to partner with us and be in touch, you can give me your email, or you can just get our newsletters every month and pray for us. So that's it. God, I just pray for this church. I pray that you would bless them, and I pray that they would have breakthrough, and I pray that they would also know you. Like, I thank you that they do know you that way, but more as the God who provides all their needs. Thank you for listening. I really appreciate it. And Merry Christmas. Happy birthday, Jesus.